We're Not Gonna Take It from Twisted Sister's 1984 album Stay Hungry. Great song, really pushes the limits. Funny video. Twisted Sister was one of those bands that really, really pushed the envelope in the 80s. Really kind of pushed back on the establishment. And Dee Snider pushed back a little bit to the Parents Music Resource Center, known as the PMRC, and really talked about music and the First Amendment right to say what we think, you know, freedom of speech, that whole deal. We're also going to be looking at No Safe Spaces today, just a little bit about that movie and review it just a little bit and really kind of point you in some directions to look at. So this is going to be fun, folks. Buckle up, stay tuned. We are ready to rock.
Welcome to the Song and Verse Podcast, a discovery of God's Word, one song and a few verses at a time. Here's your host, Rockin' Odd Todd.
Hello and welcome to the Song and Verse Podcast, a discovery of God's Word through song and verse. I am your host, Rockin' Odd Todd, and we are so happy you've decided to join us today. You know, the 80s was a interesting time period for music. There was so much out there. There was pop, punk, hair metal, heavy metal, hard rock, so many different genres that were playing a part during that time period. But in the early 80s, the PMRC, which was known as the Parents Music Resource Center, really wanted to start putting a lid on some music and say what they could and couldn't say within their lyrics. And, you know, there was a certain amount of that element that you might be able to understand, you know, maybe putting a warning label on it so that parents knew what was what. But to actually start censoring the music and not allow an artist to express themselves was really kind of teetering on that line of going too far, so to speak. And Twisted Sister was one of those bands that pushed back. And, you know, the song We're Not Gonna Take It, and even though that song came out like a year or two before the whole hearing started taking place, it really kind of explains what's going on. So we're just going to read those lyrics real quick and then talk a little bit about where we're at today in society and what this might mean from a Christian standpoint and who we are as Christians. So let's look at these lyrics real quick. We're not going to take it. We ain't going to take it. We're not going to take it anymore. We've got the right to choose it. There ain't no way we'll lose it. This is our life. This is our song. We'll fight the powers that be. Just don't pick our destiny, because you don't know us. You don't belong. You're so condescending. Your gall is never ending. We don't want nothing, not a thing from you. Your life is trite and jaded, boring and confiscated. If that's your best won't do. We're right. We're free. We'll fight. You'll see. We're not gonna take it. We ain't gonna take it. We're not gonna take it anymore. And that's really the gist of the song. You know, there was a lot going on during that time period, and a certain amount of rebellion, of course, was coming with the rock element of it all. But in many ways, it's about expression. It's about being able to express yourself. It's about being able to define who you are through words. You know, throughout the years, throughout centuries, many, many people have been silenced, so to speak, and told not to speak out against establishment and against, you know, the very nature of what's going on, whether it be government or a social movement or something of that nature. And Jesus was one of those. I mean, think about the way that they tried to shut Jesus up and what they ultimately did by crucifying him, which brought us freedom. But, you know, those same type characters have played a force in history many, many times over, trying to tell others what they should think and what they should feel. And, you know, it's a very, very dangerous place. And I think the attitude of we're not going to take it is important, because we are given rights and freedoms from our Creator. There's no man that should ever really have the ability to tell us what to say, what to think, and how to feel. Our Heavenly Father has given us the free will to express ourselves just to communicate in whatever form or fashion that might be. You know, for instance, prayer is one of those. Being told that you can't pray is against all natural and common law. Our rights are not given to us by any entity or any government. We should be allowed to pray at any point and any time that we want. And, you know, so there's some fine lines that have been crossed in many, many areas, and a lot that has taken place over the years, and it's spiraling out of control at this point. And so we really, really have to step back and look at that a little bit. Okay, so we're going to take a look at the trailer for No Safe Spaces, and then we're going to take a look at a segment off of that particular movie and really talk a little bit about what's going on in the arena of ideas at this point. You need to get a copy of this, and you need to really take a look at it, because there's a few elements in it that we're really going to watch. But let's watch the trailer first, and then we'll kind of go from there.
The University of Tomorrow is here, a place of discovery, tolerance, and acceptance.
We prepare our students for tomorrow's workforce by helping them discover their true gender, sexuality, and racial identity.
We judge people based on racial origin and history of oppression.
We call it the progressive stack.
I'm Black.
I'm Hispanic.
I'm Asian.
I'm a student at Utopia University.
This university was created so I could be me. Unless I don't want to be me, then I can just be somebody else.
You can pee next to me.
Our campus is inclusive and recognizes the needs of all students.
Except the Jews.
Our commitment to diversity means that nobody graduates until they think just the right way.
At Utopia University, there are no violent words to hurt me.
I will punch you if you're a fascist.
I'm gonna be the next Che Guevara.
We speak out against privilege.
We've checked our privilege.
Welcome to Utopia U.
A wonderful place to learn that everything your parents taught you is wrong.
It's all here at Utopia U, man.
It's not based in reality.
It's based on your reality.
Wait, hold on a second. That campus doesn't really exist, does it? That doesn't even look like parody to me. You could run that after Don Lemon's show on CNN, and it would just play like a commercial. As a matter of fact, I don't know why we focus on skin color, gender, sexual proclivities. What's that have to do with anything? It should just be all ideas. That's why Dennis and I are hitting the road in this movie. It's called No Safe Spaces, and there'll be no campus that'll be safe from our wisdom. The epicenter of free speech was always college campuses, the very same place that advocated, fought, and a couple of people actually died at Kent State for free speech, now are shutting down everybody who disagrees with them. Bill Maher doesn't want to go to campuses. Liberal comedians don't want to come to campuses and tell jokes anymore. That's how bad it's gotten. The best time in your life is supposed to be college. Didn't anyone see Animal House? But instead, we're wringing our hands and fretting. We have a group of insanely miserable people who are just hammers looking for a nail. If President Trump could just build a wall around the campuses and keep everything in the campus, that would be fine. But this horrible childlike adolescent attitude is spreading into society. The reason Dennis and I got together on this project is because he has more wisdom than anybody I know, and I'm funny. Look at it this way. Your dog's sick. You need it to take an antibiotic. If you hand it the antibiotic, that's Dennis, it spits it out. But if you mash it into a little hamburger meat, it laps it up, it gets the medicine, and it thinks it's having a good time and enjoying itself. But we can't do it alone. Movies are expensive, and we don't have a lot of time. It's a movement, and a movement is not one old Jew and one middle-aged Italian guy. Go to nosafespaces.com and join the movement. And if you donate, Dennis is going to take you on one of his exclusive cruises. No, actually, he's not going to do that, but I'll tell you what. While he's on one of his cruises, we can go ransack his house. We'll be drinking beer, Manischewitz, ride his turtle, smoke his cigars. It'll be awesome.
So hang tight with me on this one. I want to watch this, and then we want to talk a little bit about this from my own personal experience, and really, really kind of go down a road of you know, what this means here. So, so let's go with this one.
So this, I know this is a sensitive subject, but it's just, again, it's truly an issue of clarity. So here is Exhibit A of a man who was raised with white privilege.
Oh, yes.
I'd like you to share with our audience the white privilege. And be honest, okay? You don't understate the amount of privilege that you were raised with.
Well, I want to say this. I got into a semi-heated debate with a black fella who was on public radio and went to University of Michigan and then became, got his doctorate in law from University of Michigan as well. And then his wife was vice mayor of Oakland, and she's on the city council, and they raised their two children. And what I'm guessing is a fairly comfortable environment, considering they're both professionals and doing relatively well for themselves. He went on to explain to me, I didn't know what I was talking about because of my white privilege. And I said, well, let's examine my white privilege, may we? And I said, I got out of North Hollywood High. I did not go to college. I worked cleaning carpets. I went into restaurants and cleaned carpets. At night, after closing, we'd go into the Sizzler or the Hamburger Hamlet, and we'd stay there till 3 or 4 in the morning cleaning carpets. Later on, I worked on construction sites, not as an apprentice or a carpenter, but as a laborer, digging ditches, mostly cleaning up garbage, picking up after the carpenters, tearing ivy off the side of a hill house and then dragging it up the hill and throwing it in the dumpster. Whatever work donkeys were qualified to do, that's what I did. And I did that for months and years. And at a certain point, when I felt like my white privilege wasn't kicking in at all, Mom was on food stamps and welfare. Dad was, you know, eking out a living and had no extra money or time for anybody else. I said, you know what would be a good job for me? Fireman. I'm strong. I'm eager for the fray. I have no qualms about my personal safety, and I think I would make a good fireman. Plus, I love chili. I love playing foosball, and as far as I could tell, when they're not putting out fires, they're eating chili and playing foosball. So Dennis doesn't know what foosball is.
I do.
Oh, wow, he does. Yeah. All right. That Jewish fraternity really knew how to party. So I went down to the fire department in North Hollywood. I just walked over there, and I said, I'm going to put in an application to be a fireman. And they said, fine. I filled it out. I handed it to the guy, and the guy said, don't hold your breath. And I said, what does that mean? And he said, we're not going to be getting to you for some years. And when you're 19 and you're destitute and your stepmom's trying to extricate you from the garage you're living in and you have no job or no real income, the notion of we'll call you in 6 or 7 years if something comes up is not a buoy you cling to. And sure enough, I moved out of the house and I kept going, and I bought up, my foreman told me if I bought a pickup truck instead of rode a motorcycle to the job site with my tool bags fastened and looped around my neck like a bandolera's belt. He said, I'll give you another dollar an hour. So I promptly sold my motorcycle and bought a used pickup truck. And I was about 25, 26, 5, 6 years in my carpentry career. And my dad showed up to my apartment one day and he had a letter. And he said, this letter came to the house, the old address. It's from the LA Fire Department. And sure enough, there was a date to take the written test at Hollywood High the following weekend. And I said, well, I don't even want to be a fireman anymore, but because I've waited 6 years to be a fireman, I'm going down to Hollywood High on 10 a.m. on Saturday. And I stood in line to get into this place, and I was really sort of marveling at the fact that it taken 6 years for them to contact me. Now imagine if I didn't have white privilege. I could have still been waiting today. But there was a young lady, very diminutive lady, a small, slightly built lady behind me. Could not tell her nationality. Could have been black, Latino, or mixed, or something like that. And everyone around me, I kept saying, when did you put in your application? When did you put in? And I turned around to her and I said, when did you put in your application? And she said, Tuesday. So I went back to this fellow when we were arguing about white privilege and I said, I'm not here to tell you it exists or doesn't exist. I'm here to tell you it never existed for me, in which case he just did the ultimate, which is, you are the recipient of it, you just don't know it.
Okay, folks, so you kind of get the idea of what this movie is all about. I really kind of want to put this into some terms that I personally have noticed and sort of dealt with. I worked for the university system for over 15 years, worked for three really prominent universities, and for the most part, they were very, very good times, very good experiences. But at one point, the tables sort of turned a little bit. And in order to get merit raises, we had to start what was called diversity training. Now, keep in mind, I have nothing wrong with diversity. I think diversity is awesome. I think each one of us brings something to the table in a very unique fashion. I think multiple perspectives are very, very important. I think that the more diverse we are, the more we see God's creativity shining through diversity. And I think it's really, really cool, honestly. But to demean one particular group because another group feels a certain way or because society says that this is right, this is wrong, really kind of goes to the heart of the issue and the heart of the problem. Because as you see in Carolla's monologue there, his life was pretty tough. You know, he had to make some pretty rough choices. Life, in many ways, is what you make out of it. And what I always found sort of interesting was the ones that wanted to go out and get it had the opportunities, and the ones that wanted to kind of wallow in self-pity or victimhood were the ones that stayed down. And this goes across all spectrums of humanity. But I noticed in those diversity trainings that certain groups were inherently bad and other groups were inherently good. And I'm not going to go into details about which ones were which because, honestly, I think it's a moot point and I don't think it's worth discussing. But anytime you're demonizing one group and lifting up another, there is discrimination going on. And I think as Christians and as people of faith, we are against any of that. We are looking at this guy right here as one of God's creations and somebody that, quite frankly, all those things don't matter. God's love applies to each one of them. And that's really kind of the slope we're going down here. Inherently, we're all built to know what's right and wrong. You know, when you think of the Ten Commandments being like, you know, no murder, no stealing, no lying, no adultery, things of that nature, that's inherent. That's in us. You know, when we do those things, there's this feeling of, that's not something I should be doing. And it starts from a very early age. And as you get older, it's still there. Now, the more you start to rebel and do those things, the more it starts to become second nature and it may just become numb. You may put it in a box and say, you know what? Those things don't matter. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. But that box in your mind and in your head is there, and you inherently know what you're doing is wrong if you're walking in those paths. But it's a natural law that's interwoven in us. You know, John Locke, C.S. Lewis, Aristotle, so many philosophers and historians and great minds of humanity talked about these things and talked about, you know, what that looks like. And we can talk all day long about Levitical law, Judeo-Christian principles and things of that nature and what's right and what's wrong. But inherently, Jesus came and really kind of spelled out exactly what that looks like. And so Christ really, really spelled out what all that looks like in Matthew 22, 37 through 40 by saying, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So all the Levitical law, all of the law that Moses established ahead of time, falls on those two things. So when you stop and think about it, if you love God and love people, you're going to not commit adultery, not steal, not kill, not lie. When we apply love to our lives, we abstain from sin. We follow God's law. And that's really what this is about. That's really what's going on here. And I think, you know, if you really want to look a little deeper at that movie, it's important that we are given the rights bestowed upon us by our Creator, that we're allowed to speak, that we're allowed to express, that we're allowed to defend ourselves, that we're allowed to do all these things that inherently we are given access to by God, not by man. And if you watch this movie, there is a left-leaning professor by the name of Brett Weinstein, not related to Harvey Weinstein, that worked for Evergreen State College and really came across this issue surrounding expression and race and just the vilification of one another just based on those rights that are given to us, the rights of freedom of speech, the right to stand up and disagree. Those are things that are inherent. We're allowed to do that. We're allowed to not agree on everything. And that doesn't mean that there's not unjust things that happen in this world. That's definitely true. But to label people one way or the other is really, really dangerous, because knowing the heart of mankind is not something that we can do just by looking at one another or even by the words that we've said to one another. You know, there's this cancel culture mentality going on right now that if you say a certain thing, even if it was 20 or 30 years ago in your past, it still applies to who you are today. And I can tell you from personal experience, I'm not the same person that I was yesterday based on my walk with Christ. I am an ever-evolving being in my state of affairs with Him. I am constantly peeling back layers of myself and exposing more and more of who Christ is. And it's a process. It's a journey. It takes diligence. It takes the willingness to die to self and allow more of Him to take control. And it's not an easy process. It's not something that just happens automatically. You have to work towards it. And that's not to say I'm better than anybody else or anything of that nature. Each person comes to this and walks to this in their own timing. And as God reveals things to you, you learn along the way. And there's no timetable on that. It's between you and your Lord, and you should know that. But I really, really want you to stop and think about this and what's going on in this world and what it looks like to be a part of some of those conversations. Because no woman or man has really been given the authority to tell another one how to think or feel. Those are rights that are given to us by our Creator. And so this is a delicate subject, but I want you to openly enter into this arena and really, really think for yourself on this and to know who you are. See, the issue that I've noticed is, so the atheists want to tell the Christians what to do. The Christians want to tell the Satanists what to do. The Satanists want to tell, you know, pagans what to do, and so on and so forth. Now, of course, there's unlawful practices in some religion. If you're sacrificing things or doing things that are against the law, that's a completely different narrative. But if you were practicing faith and you willingly think that there's some other faith that shouldn't be allowed to do something, at some point that's going to be flipped over onto you. We as Christians can't tell atheists that they can't believe. And atheists cannot tell Christians that we can't believe in the things that we all believe in. And if we start going down this slippery slope of telling each other what to do and one group loses out because you've pointed fingers in one direction and think there should be law made because of that certain direction, then we've lost the battle, because at some point all religion and all free thinking will go away. And that's not where this needs to go. And so even us as Christians need to keep that in mind and need to notice that we should lift up the rights of our brothers and sisters in creation for them to practice the free will that they've been given. Now, it's the conclusion that we know to be true, that Christ is at the center of that and Christ is the proper way to walk, and we should lovingly do our best to lead each other in those directions. But if somebody doesn't follow that mantra, beating them over the head and militantly telling them what to do is no better than the other side doing that same thing. And so it's a fine line. This is delicate, delicate material and delicate, delicate territory. But we have to think and we have to know. You know, back to the Twisted Sister song, "We're Not Going to Take It." When we say we're not going to take it, that should be for all humanity. We're not going to take one group telling another group what to do and glorifying one over the other. That's just not the stance that we're going to take on this. And we need to be staunch about that. We need to be serious about that and really, really take the rights of each other seriously. And that even entails taking on the rights of others when you don't agree with what they have to say or what they're doing. Lawfully, of course. If they're doing something unlawful, totally get it, shouldn't be happening. But I want you to think about this, and I want you to think about what that means, because when we say to love God and love people, all the law is fulfilled in that manner. Christ came for those two very reasons, for us to love God and love people. And He has established that all the law is fulfilled by those two commandments. And that's why we push those so hard here. That's why we really, really talk about them and really, really want that to take hold. And I know I've been long-winded in this episode and really, really, you know, talked about this a little longer than maybe needed to be. But check that out. Check out No Safe Spaces. Check out Brett Weinstein's story, what happened at Evergreen State College, and really start pushing the limit on how you think and feel about some of this stuff. You know, it's not an easy topic. It's not something that's easy to talk about. But I do think that when we communicate with one another and when we talk out these principles and when we talk out our lives' narratives with one another, we start to learn a little bit more about each other. And I can tell you that from the spectrum that I have noticed and met people on, I have seen different people in other religions, other races, other walks of life that have had so many different experiences, and can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that a good portion of what happened to them, they chose for themselves. And by walking out narratives that didn't necessarily fit the norms of society. And when they push the envelopes themselves, that's when greatness starts to take over. And so that's really it for today. I hope you guys are doing well. If you have any comments about this, go ahead and put some in there. I understand that this is a difficult topic, and it's a narrative. It's one that we may not even agree on, and that's perfectly fine as well. Let's have that conversation, and let's talk this out a little bit. But I want you to know we love each and every one of you all. I'm sorry there was no guest in this episode again today. I have been swamped in my personal life. There is so much going on. The next few months, I cannot wait to tell you guys a certain amount of what's going on. So much going on in the background. And quite honestly, it's just taking up a lot of time trying to get there. And yeah, it's exciting. So can't wait to let you in on some of that. In the meantime, I hope you guys are doing well and take care. Remember, as you walk and go about your business, love God, love people, and love Pat. You guys take care. We'll catch you next week. This is Rocking Odd Todd signing out. Be well.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Songiverse podcast. Hopefully it was an uplifting, honest, and meaningful experience for you. We do accept donations. If you feel led to give to the Song and Verse Ministries, check out songandverseministries.com/donate for a number of different ways to give back. And also be sure to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. We hope you tune into the next episode of the Song and Verse podcast. Until then, keep searching for the DNA of God's Word found flowing through song.